So don't worry, Pastor David will continue teaching Wednesdays in Joshua, but just for today, I'm going to be sharing with you, and I'll kind of be continuing on as I've been kind of going through the book of Hebrews whenever I've been given an opportunity and honor to share the word with you, and so that's what we're going to do tonight, and our text will consist only on three verses in Hebrews, which really, we're breaking a lot of ground on this, but nonetheless, it's a very important passage and deals a lot of different important issues, but primarily the issue of maturity, something that all of us are called to be mature in our faith. Once you come to Christ, once Jesus saves you, you're expected to grow. You're born again, right? You're a babe in Christ. You're a new creation. And you're new in Him. And in spiritual sense, you're a baby in Christ. But you're not to remain baby. You're to grow. You're to mature, just like any baby, right? When a child is born, it is expected for them to mature, not just physically, but also in many other ways. And so it's same with us when we come to Christ. We are to mature. And in our text tonight, that is, I said, the Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, we're going to go through it twice. In the first going through, we're just going to break it down, the things that are saying, then we're going to come back to it again, read it again, and see in an applicational sense what we can get out of it. But before we do that, just as a reminder, prior to this section, the author of Hebrews spoke to his audience, wrote to them about Jesus being the great high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he didn't talk a lot about that point. He will do that later on in the book. But some of the things that he did point out are actually quite a few. And then last time when I was teaching, I covered about 9 characteristics of this priesthood. So I'm just going to go over them as a reminder, and that it's a new priesthood. So it's not in a priesthood in the line of Aaron, but rather in order of Melchizedek. It's the priesthood of righteousness. It is a priesthood of peace. It's a royal priesthood. It's a priesthood of blessing, priesthood of fellowship, priesthood by right or necessity, it's eternal priesthood, and priesthood that offers eternal life. And these are just some of the things. More is to be covered. And as the author of Hebrews was kind of getting into this, being excited to share with his audience about Jesus being our great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he has to stop. He has to pause. Because he cannot continue on because they're not ready. He has to address an important issue, and that's the issue of their maturity. So in verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So this is the issue. Can you just imagine a preacher being excited about the message he has to share, and he is just going and going, and all of a sudden he has to stop, kind of at the midpoint, and goes, "I can't continue on. I have to address a more important issue. I have to address you guys. I want to talk about Jesus, because this whole book is about Jesus. Everything we've seen pretty much from the beginning of this letter has been about Jesus." But he has to stop and address this important issue, the issue of their maturity. And we have to look at verse 11 to see why this is the case. It says, "Of whom," speaking again of Jesus and being older than Melchizedek, "we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. They came to be in a place of inability to grow spiritually. And they got to that place by their own choice. They became dull of hearing. It wasn't something that they were always like, but rather it was something that they came into. It wasn't a physical issue, lack of ability to hear the words spoken, but it was a spiritual issue, a heart issue, unwillingness to learn the things that are meant for them to learn. They did not start out like this, but they came to this place. And it's a good reminder to all of us that as believers, when it comes to the issue of maturity, growing in faith, it is something that we need to continually invest in. We do not achieve the perfect mature state on this earth, but rather we have to continually invest in it. Like anybody who exercises, works out, knows that it's necessary to continue on. Because if you don't do it, you're not going to continue to be strong. You're only going to get weaker. Same as in our spiritual walk with the Lord, in our maturity. We have to continually grow. But the danger is that we can find ourselves in a place that the Hebrews did. That we can get to a place of dull of hearing, unwilling to hear. We need to be in one place, but we're not in that place. The Lord wants to use us. He wants to bless our life. But we can't be blessed, we can't be used because we prevent ourselves to be in that place of blessing because we do not want to hear. Dull of hearing. He says, by this time, in verse 12, as I'm speaking to you, you ought to be teachers. Yet you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. They went backwards, not forwards. It has been said, when it comes to spiritual walk, you're either progressing or you're regressing. There's no neutral ground. You're either going to be carried by the and led by the Spirit, or you're going to be carried and led by the world. There's no other movement in the life of a believer. Instead of being mature, they became immature. They were going in the right direction, but something happened and they stopped maturing. They started going backwards. So that, again, they need milk. Now, milk is good, but milk is the only food baby can have, right? And that's the place they found themselves in. They were not babies anymore. Yet they could only handle milk. Not solid food. It says, need means it's necessary. At this point, I cannot give you solid food. I need to give you milk. I need to address the issue of the first things. Or the origins, the beginnings. Things that deal with the kind of ABCs of the faith. Now, it's always good to be reminded of the basics of our faith, but we're not to remain in that state. We are to mature. We are to desire more, understand more. I don't know if you've noticed, Bible is a pretty big book, isn't it? There's a lot of ground to be covered, a lot of treasures to be found, a lot of mountains to be climbed, a lot of opportunities to grow and mature in the faith. Yet, they got back to the basics. They were unwilling to dig in. They were unwilling to invest, do the hard work. the oracles, the basic things. So instead of having solid food, the strong food that will make them strong, they're back to milk. And it's sad that there's so many churches that a preacher, a pastor, can only preach a sermon that's 15 to 25 minutes long. Why? Because many people in the congregation are unwilling, unable to handle more. I remember the first or second year of us being in Edmonton, we were just started to rent a place in this church, a tiny chapel, and we were just to the kind of to the side, had a sign that we set up outside, and there was this elderly couple that came in. They actually saw the sign, which kind of was nice that the sign worked, and they came in, and the man was kind of like, yeah, you know, you should have a bigger sign, let people know that you're here, and so forth. And then as we were talking, he came to me and said, are you going to preach longer than 15 minutes? I was like, you mean 50? He's like, no, 15. It's like, okay, I know you're not coming back. He was not ready. He was unwilling. There's too many believers who are not mature because they're unwilling to invest in their maturity. And so they need, as he points out here, you need milk. They need to be given milk. Doesn't mean they should be neglected, put aside, ignored. At least they will take milk. But it's not where they're supposed to be. You ought to be teachers. You ought to mature. You ought to be in this place where you are receiving. Not just receiving, but giving. And they were not the only group. Paul, writing to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:2, says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. Now, if you're familiar with the New Testament and Paul's letters, you probably know the state of Corinthian church. By reading the 1 Corinthians, you recognize that this was a church that was not healthy. Why? I mean, it had a great foundation. Apostle Paul was the one who started it. He was their pastor, the teacher. He spent quite a lot of time with them. He instructed them. It's because they were not maturing. And when you look at church in Corinth, they were fighting against one another. They were divided. There were fractions in the church. They were kind of attacking each other whenever they could. There was sexual immorality. There was lack of understanding of the teachings of God's word, as well as the use of the gifts of the Spirit. Paul had to spend a lot of his time and effort in writing that letter to correct the errors of this church. And he points out why. Because they're not mature. They're also supposed to be in this place of maturity, but they were not. Now, Paul did not give up on them. He continued to invest in them. But it was their place that they found themselves that they were missing out. And in this context to these Hebrews, they were going back to the old covenant, the one that was pointing towards Jesus. They were going back to that. The fact was, Jesus already came. He was here. He arrived. And so instead of dealing with the reality, the real person, they went back to the pictures of the Old Testament, things that were pointing to him and ignoring the essence of everything. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Unskillful is an interesting word because it tells us something about maturity. Part of our growth is related to skill, being skillful in the word of truth. And skill comes through experience, effort, continual investment in it. if you want to be skillful in any trade or playing an instrument or whatever, you need to invest time, effort, and you need to do it all the time. Yet they were not doing that. They had no skill in handling the Word of God. That is a dangerous place. When a believer does not know how to use the sword of the Spirit that was given to him, God's Word, they find themselves in a dangerous place. In a place where they can be manipulated and moved in every possible direction by any false teacher and false teaching that's out there. Why? Because they don't know the words. They may know the basics, but they don't know the depths of it, the fullness of it. They're naive in many ways. They're babies. They're simple-minded. That's why he says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that it is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Solid food would be the deeper things of God's Word. In this case, again, relating to the issues of Jesus being the great high priest, the understanding, the prophecies, the promises, the purpose of God in bringing Melchizedek, the time of Abraham, and how Jesus is the priest in his order and all that. But things that require more effort, more prayer, more investment, more studying, more reflection, more meditation. But those who are willing to do that, they are of full age. They're mature. They're complete in that sense. We need prayer. We need praise. But we also need the Word of God, the knowledge of God's Word. And he says, by the reason of use have their senses exercised. Meaning using, applying the things you study in your life, using it. Meaning it's not just being a hearer, but a doer of the words. Have their senses exercised. Your whole body, your mind, your heart, your soul, everything strong because you're exercising. You're using the Word of God. And it's not easy. You know, if you exercise, it's not easy. At times, it's very difficult. You don't feel like it. But you'd know that it's not about the feeling, but it's about the commitment for the ultimate result that it brings. You know, it's good. And in the case of spiritual maturity, it is essential to understanding or discerning both good and evil. In our day and age, this is so essential. We truly live in the days where evil is called good, and good is called evil. There's great push to promote immorality, wickedness, ungodliness, unrighteousness, and to demonize godliness, righteousness, holiness, purity, morality. And for those who are immature, they can get caught up in the message of the enemy in the world. And it can buy into some of his messages and the world's messages because they don't know how to handle God's Word. Just yesterday, I think, as the passage we were talking, and just kind of saying that In the past, it used to be relatively easy if somebody was to ask you, have you heard about this and that preacher, to know who's bad or not, because, you know, there were a good number of them, but it wasn't so many. The internet wasn't so popular. Not everybody was on it. But nowadays, man, there's hundreds of people showing up online, holding the Bible in their hand, claiming all sorts of things, who are false teachers, who are either deceived and deceiving others, or are purposefully deceitful and deceiving others. And more people are buying into their things because they're not skillful in the word of righteousness. They have not exercised what was given to them. So when somebody comes along and sounds convincing enough, they start buying into it. I mean, 20 years ago, we would never have thought that some churches will do the things that they do now, that they will approve things that they approve now, that they will stand behind things that they stand behind now. We would think, there's no way. I mean, Bible's clear. Yet people are doing it. They're following along with the world. People who use the Bible to teach all sorts of things. There's too many. And the protection of that is to be in the Word, to mature in faith. I mean, that's one of the pillars of Calvary Chapels, is to teach the Word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, you know, precept upon precept. Everything, giving the entirety of God's Word. Not just because it's fanciful or whatever, but because it is good. It's the word of the Lord. And as we teach, our prayer is that you, as you listen, receive, apply, not just in how you live, but also in understanding of how to study the word. So you can be mature, strong, able to recognize falsehood when it comes your way. And then one of the characteristics of a mature person is that they want more. Immature believer will come to a service, lasts too long, too much information, too many things were said. They will walk away and go, wow, that was too much. A mature believer will be when you, you know, have a good, big steak, potatoes, full meal, take everything in, you go, man, I'm full, can't have another bite. Then 5 minutes later, you go, maybe I'll have some more. That's when it comes to mature believer in the Word of God. You can walk out of a message that maybe can last an hour, and you go, man, that was a lot. And as you're driving home, you go, I need to listen to another study. I want more. One of the beautiful things when, you know, we go to conferences of different kinds is the messages, different speakers, and sometimes they can be stacked. You look at a day schedule, it can be up to 7, 8. And you go, wow, that's a lot. And you kind of push through it, and at the end of it, you look back and go, that was awesome. Why? Because you're using what God has given you. You're exercising your spiritual self. And that's what he is trying to get to. So let's go back again and read these verses. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, God wants us to mature. Now, maybe some of you are babies in Christ. Wonderful. Enjoy the milk. But don't desire only milk. Desire for bigger things, for more things, for richer things. Because that is what he desires of us. He wants us to grow in maturity. Now, the fact is, we will always be the children of God, right? But that's our relation to him. That is not to describe our understanding. When it comes to our understanding of God, we are to mature. Just like a child matures in their understanding of their parents and the world around them, and moves from fairly simple way of relating to the parent to more complex, richer, fuller way. You know, there's a great joy when you have little ones, you know, 1-year-old, 2-year-old. There's some cuteness about it. There's sweet time, and it's kind of sad when they pass that age. But the relationship can be so much deeper once they mature, because you can talk about all sorts of things. You can relate to each other in a way that no one else, that you could not, excuse me, when they were babies. Because it is fitting, it is right, and so it is for us in our walk with the Lord. We are to mature in it, because it's a natural result of our fellowship with the Lord, our abiding in him. And maturity does not only deal with our understanding of God and his word. It relates to our behavior. It relates to our thinking. It relates to our speech. Because in all those areas, the maturity will reflect our knowledge of God, our relationship with God, because we are to be more like Christ. As Jesus has transformed our lives, as he lives in us, as he fellowships with us, he is making us more like himself. But if we choose to say, no, I don't want that, our relationship with him will be limited, basic. We'll lack a lot of things that we could have, but we don't want. Now, as he pointed out, one of the things about mature believers, of those who are growing in faith, is this desire to teach, or ability to teach. Now, this is not necessarily dealing with pastors and teachers per se, but rather the idea of discipleship, something that every one of us is called to do. As we mature in faith, Lord is going to bring somebody younger in faith in our life to whom we can minister to, whom we can disciple in the faith, take them alongside and guide them in the ways of the Lord. All of us are called to that. Obviously, for parents, that's obvious that it's your kids. But it goes further than that. And that's something that we all desire, right? As you learn of the Lord, you get excited about the Lord, you want to share about the Lord. That's just natural. It just comes as a result of abiding in him. We don't want to be those who just receive, or excuse me, those who just only hear and don't give. You know, Paul gave warning to Timothy about a particular group of women, but one of the things he points out about them is that they were overlearning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth in 2 Timothy. And I find that fascinating. Always learning, but never came to the knowledge of truth. You see, we're not talking about somebody being stupid or unable to learn, but rather people not coming to the knowledge of the truth. There is a ton of information out there today. Every day, all of us are exposed to information, things that we can learn. But a lot of the things we are learning from the world around us is useless. The best source of knowledge always comes from the Word of God. That's how we get to know the truth. Again, the world will bombard us with things. And the thing is, devil is really, really good at deception. Did you notice whatever devil is mentioned in the scriptures, when he comes around, he uses a lot of truth in the things he is saying. But then he adds a twist to it, either misapplying the scripture or adding something to the scripture or removing. And if attention is given to him, you're deceived. And that's what happened, right, with Eve. She couldn't catch it. She didn't notice the sleight of hand. But when he approached Jesus, he could not do it. Why? Because Jesus knew the words, right? Every time the devil came tempting Jesus, whether he twisted the scripture or with a new temptation, Jesus responded with the truth of God's words. That was the safe point. That's something that we can all take. To protect ourselves from lies, we need to know the truth. Not YouTube videos or all sorts of things, the truth itself. Being in the Word, investing in it. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When you're a child, these things are expected to be childish. But as you mature, notice, I put away these things. Maturity is expected. New in faith, wonderful, but continue to mature in faith. There's times to put away childish things. Child needs milk, not solid foods. But mature person needs solid food. And sometimes where you're at can be revealed in what's your attitude when it comes to the Word of God. You see, we often refer to the scriptures as being our bread, our daily bread. Right? When Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. So bread was good, necessary. In our day and age, we don't eat as much bread as people did back then because it was truly their daily nutrition. It was necessary for them to have. That was sometimes the only food they will have. So Jesus is not putting down the physical food, but he is saying, you'll need the spiritual foods. Bread is needed for your physical self, but for your spiritual, you need the Word of God. And if you look at God's Word as a bread, your daily bread, that's wonderful. You will consume it daily. But if you look at God's Word as a cake, as a dessert, you only take it at occasional times. Why? Because you cannot handle a lot of sweets. Did you notice that? Our bodies cannot handle sweets too much, no matter how much we like the treats. It's just not good for us. So with the attitude of having God's word as being a treat only, you can only handle so much. But if you see it as something that's essential to your growth, maturity, and health, you will grow. You will want no more. Because, again, the scriptures are about Jesus, as Jesus pointed out in John 5:39. And you search the scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. We are in the word because we find the word himself. We get to fellowship with God. We get to be with God. We get to be transformed by God. It's about Jesus. And we can't miss that. And then as we spend time in the word, we are to be the doers of the word again. Not just hearers, but doers. Applying those things that we know from the word as Jesus was able to apply it in his temptations and in his life. Andrew Murray said the following, said, "The eye is exercised to see and know God's way and know and him who leads it. The ear to hear his voice. The conscience to reject everything that is not well-pleasing to God or even doubtful. And the will to choose and do only what is his will." So I'm going to read it again. The eye is exercised to see and know God's way and him who leads in it. The ear to hear his voice and conscience to reject everything that is not well-pleasing to God or even doubtful. And the will to choose and do only what is his will. It's that surrender to him, wanting to be like him, rejecting sin and worldliness and embracing holiness. And that's the challenging part. That's that exercise, the hard part. Often the hardest thing is to apply the word in our lives, to live out the convictions, to live out the truth that we know, to stand on it, to proclaim it, and face criticism and rejection, ridicule, or even challenges that come with simply being a believer. Yet it is the greatest thing we have. I don't know who said this, but I love how he said it. He said, "And having gained truth, keep truth. That is all." Don't make it complicated. Stay in it. It's valuable. And in closure, I just wanted two other passages to cover, because there's, again, so much to be said about maturity, but I love how Ephesians 4:11-16 puts it. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and a cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, I've talked a lot about personal growth, but here one of the things that Paul brings about maturity and growth is that it's also beneficial to the body. You see, church as a whole generally is weak because there's lots of immature believers. Now, thankfully, I believe that this body has lots of mature believers and there's good health in to it. But there's need for more, especially in this day and age. Mature believers ministering to the immature ones, lifting them up, being an example of maturity. Because God has given pastors and teachers, as you point out, to equip the saints. You know, coming together for our services, for the messages, to worship God, to pray together, but to grow together in understanding of God's words. As Pastor David teaches us through different books, Sunday starting in 2 Peter, growing an understanding of 2 Peter, growing an understanding of the message of that epistle, and then being able to share with others, with one another, to lift one another, to minister to one another, applying it. Because we're not individuals, but individual members of a body. So as we grow not just for our own sake, but the sake of others as well. Because our own growth ministers to others. As we grow, we get to minister to each other. The benefit of being in fellowship is the benefit of being lifted up. If you find yourself, you know, struggling and being the ones like, I just am dull of hearing. Surround yourself with those who are not and let them minister to you and encourage you so that you will get to that place of, I want that. I want more. It is to know Christ and make Him known. Often a common slogan in many churches is to know Him and make Him known. And then the benefit is the protection, actually, that we are no longer children tossed and fro, right? From every wind of doctrine that comes our way, but rather are firm, established in the truth, knowing right from wrong, not being deceived. I don't know if you noticed, the believers that tend to be led astray in some kind of a false teaching tend to be the ones who separate themselves from the fellowship. They stop coming to church. They stop meeting with other strong believers. They don't want to discuss these things. They're separating and making themselves vulnerable. That's not what God intended. We are part of the body. Pastors and leaders lead and teach by example, but we also get to do the same thing to each other. Our daily bread. And then I'll close with Philippians 3:12. You know, Paul had this attitude of going after Christ with full being. I mean, we know from when once we see Saul of Tarshish be converted on that road to Damascus, he was transformed into Paul, right? And he became zealous for Jesus, and he was on fire, sold out to the gospel, to following Jesus and just pursuing after him. Nothing in this life mattered to him anymore, right? To him, to die is gain, but, you know, to live as Christ. He was living for Jesus. He was pursuing after him. And he says in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He was never satisfied, never stagnant, always pursuing on, going hard after Jesus. He says, I did not attain perfection. I'm not fully mature. I'm not there yet, but I'm going hard after it. I want that. And that maturity is actually tied, notice, to what he says, to knowing Christ, knowing Jesus. Lay hold of that which Christ also has laid hold of him. It's being with Christ, pursuing hard, not allowing anything to distract him. And he matured, he grew in faith. Now, in many ways, again, we can look at Paul and say, man, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like him. He definitely was a mature man. But he was also fully human, dealing with the same things we deal with, needing the fellowship of the body. You know, one of the saddest things that we can read in the New Testament, outside of what happened to Christ and the rejection that he faced, is when you read in 2 Timothy, when Paul writes to Timothy, his son of faith, and he makes a statement, all have forsaken me. And he names some of the people. Some had to go for the reasons, others just abandoned him. And he said, only the Lord stood with me. It was hard. He enjoyed the fellowship with other believers. He was also part of the body. He was the apostle. He was the pastor. He was the teacher. He was the one who was leading and equipping. But he was also part of the body. He needed the rest of the body to minister to him. He needed mature believers in his life to encourage him towards that maturity. And that's why we come together. That's why it's so encouraging to see you or online, whatever, pressing on, pursuing on together, Wednesday, Sunday, on and on. Because together we pursue the same thing. Together we get to grow. And together we get to explore the deep things of God, the mature things, something that the author of Hebrews could not, because they were not ready. So he has to come back to the milk and then lead them from milk to the solid foods. So the encouragement is, do not stop pressing on. Press on. Lay hold. Hold on to Jesus. Invest yourself. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow dull of hearing. But invest yourself. He is coming, and we pray that it may be today even. But if he tarries, you want to be ready, and the mature believers are ready. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words, for our daily bread. Well, for the exhortation of this passage to be mature. And that's our heart desires, to continue to grow in our faith. Lord, your word is so good, so tasteful, so pleasing, so satisfying. Lord, help us not to grow dull of hearing. Help us not to ever be satisfied and get to a place of thinking that we had enough or know enough, but to always want more, know more, to be truly invested in knowing your words, hiding it in our hearts, applying it in our lives, sharing it with others, encouraging one another. Lord, what a blessing it is to be around believers who desire after you. It is encouraging, Lord. And we do pray for anyone who may be in that place of dullness and really not growing as they could. Lord, may they wake up from that. May they desire after solid food. Lord, help us to be encouragement to each other. Again, thank you for being such an awesome God and Savior, Jesus, for being so amazing. Did you reveal yourself to us? That you've given us your book to know you from Genesis to Revelation. So many things to learn. And Lord, we look forward to learning even more. Drawing near more to you. So Lord, be glorified and lifted in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.